This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
Hi there, and welcome to Close Up. I'm Phyllis Smith. So today we're going to take a deep dive into something that so many people are afraid, even ashamed to talk about, and that is grief. And yet it is something that every human being will experience at some point in their lives, and more likely several times. My guest today is a psychotherapist who's been practicing grief counseling for over two decades. Her goal in life is to help people find the light in their times of darkness, in which she describes as a fertile and productive way to help those in grief acknowledge and embrace their pain constructively, and how to communicate their feelings to those who love and care for them. So please welcome Counselor Mandy Epley, who is also the new host of Finding Hope, which airs live on EWN Radio Network on Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and of course archived at EWNRadioNetwork.com. So Mandy, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to the club. Welcome to the EWN Radio Network Club.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the show. And I am beyond ecstatic about hosting this new show, Finding Hope.
Yes, and it is all around working through the grief process. So that brings me to, so what draws you to the grief process?
What draws me to the grief process, Phyllis, is authenticity. And that it truly is such an important, truthful aspect of our lives, that we don't have a lot of places in our culture where we can openly, honestly, purely speak about what we experience when we're grieving. I feel so called and led and drawn to bringing into our popular culture that it's good and healthy and beyond and more than okay to honestly have dialogue around this aspect of being a human being, because grief shapes so much of who we are and informs us about who we are and even introduces us to our more authentic self, teaches us about what we're made of, and even introduces us to our own calling.
How, in what way does it tell us, teach us more about ourselves?
It's almost like when something painful and difficult happens in our lives, if a relationship has ended, or if there is an incredible tragedy, it's as though life deposits inside of us information and keys to what matters to us most in the world. And there's example after example of this. I mean, the woman who started, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, her son was tragically killed by a drunk driver when he was 18. The all over the world, the Susan Komen Foundation honoring breast cancer and the fight against and finding a cure. There are so many examples of when we experience deep loss as individuals that it impassions us if we give ourselves permission to take care of our grief in a healthy way, to discover more and more about ourselves. And that's the key, is that when we're grieving, it's so tempting to close off. And what I'm passionate about and what Finding Hope is about is giving incredible ideas and tools and inspiration through learning about other people's journeys to encourage us to keep our own hearts open and to learn, what is life teaching me through this painful loss?
And it really has to also be about letting go to what is, because so often I think when people try to avoid the pain, then they spiral into a whole other dysfunctional direction. Recently talking to somebody who had lost her dog about a year ago, and she was ready to commit suicide. I mean, and now she's come out of it and she's better for it, and her life is just you know, there's just so much light and love in her life right now. But at that time, there are people like when they don't give in, they don't allow it, right? They bury it. And, you know, what are some of the other things that can happen if you don't allow yourself to feel the grief?
Yeah. And I, you know, whenever I speak about this, I always want to say with huge compassion and huge empathy that there are times in our lives, as we all know, that do, as this person you were speaking to, that drop us to our knees, that we can really experience despair because there are things that hurt that deeply and that badly. And if we don't get the help and the support that we deserve, not feeling our feelings leads to depression and despair. I mean, there is an idea, a myth in our culture that if we'll be strong and not feel too deeply and not let the grief in too much, that we can get through it. And it's actually the opposite, that when we numb with using all the many, you know, vices that, you know, we all are very familiar with, if it's sugar, if it's too much alcohol, if it's, you know, zoning out on hours and hours of TV, I mean, whatever it is that people use to not feel, that then we find ourselves in a place of eventually in depression and despair. So the realness here is we have to feel.
It's so interesting when you say that because the truth is what it sounds to me, what you're saying, there is a big difference between grief or sadness and depression. I think people can think that if you're sad, you're depressed, but are you implying that they're not the same thing?
It's exactly what I'm saying. Sadness, pure sadness will move through you, if you will. Pure sadness is, imagine a river moving through your psyche, moving through your being. It will flow. And while sadness does hurt, we all know that it hurts, and it's not something that we want to feel. It is natural. It is authentic. It is a part of the healthy human journey. Depression, it's as though our sadness dams up in our body and gets stuck. And then then it impacts our ability to sleep. It impacts our ability to have passion for life. We feel stuck. We feel alone. We feel isolated. And so a big piece is learning how to feel in a way that lets you know you're on your own side. You don't have to shut down. There's nothing wrong with hurting so deeply. And of course it hurts. It's not fun. But it's so human and it's so real and it's part of your authentic story.
Now, you say, I've heard you say that people who are grieving, they should find a counselor. You mentioned it before that you really should get help, and that it's important that it's not just any counselor, but somebody who has also worked through their own grief. Why is that? And then do you have a story around grief that has brought you to this place of passion and to help people work through their own grief?
Sure. Well, why I say that is that, you know, if your counselor that you're working with is not well-versed in learning how to work with clients around grief, and if they're not comfortable with their own grief, you know, my ability to be with you in your own pain and in your own suffering has everything to do with how comfortable I am with my own. So a professional who has done their own inner work, if you will, who has done their own therapy, is going to be much more able to sit with you in the depth of your sorrow and your pain. And I find that is incredibly important for the client. And my own story of grief, like all of you, I've had many, many losses in my life. And one of them that I'll share is that there was a time in my life many years ago where all within a short period of time, my dearest friend in the world and my business partner at the time moved away at the same time that my husband left me, at the same time that one of our dearest friends in the world went to sleep and didn't wake up. And it was several and other losses as well, but several losses, boom, 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 within a short amount of time that I really, it just impacted me even more around, okay, grief matters to you so much. You want to help people in their grief. What more can you do to, what more can you do to help others? I mean, that's what that heartbreak and that heartache did in my life. It like awoke me to even more, this topic has mattered to you since you were a little girl. I mean, I can remember at 9 years old saying to myself, and where I got these words, only the heavens know, but literally at 9 years old, I said to myself, okay, your pain is not in vain. And I think that was a message that was given to me for my own life and for others, that there's meaning in our pain. There, you know, there's something in that for each of us. And so the losses that then happened later in my life, and there were many more, but those were three that happened very close back to back, that I thought, okay, what am I really fully going for my passion in helping to do my small part in shifting consciousness around how normal it is in the human journey to grieve, and to help do my part to eradicate shame about grieving.
You and your colleagues have identified seven steps around grief. And can you just briefly explain, just name them off, and then when we come, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to launch a little deeper into those.
Sure. So I'll name them. And the first step is affirm your grief. The second one is to open your heart. The third is initiation. The fourth step is paradox. Step five is spiritual fortitude. Step six is service. And the seventh step is celebration.
And how was it that you came to the conclusion that there were seven specific steps to working through the process of grief?
Well, in the development of this model with my dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi, he and I combined have, 50 plus years in working with people around the grief journey, and we have our own grief stories, and we identified what are the steps that empower people in the grief journey. That's where these steps come from. They're about dignity, they're about empowerment, and what we saw with our clients through the years that helped them move through their grief in a way that allowed them to find incredible beauty in their own story.
Beautiful. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's funny. We talk about this and it's actually enlightening. And as you speak about grief, there's a sense of beauty in it, actually, that I think people you don't associate grief with beauty, but I'm feeling it in just our short, brief conversation we've had so far. But there's plenty more to come. So stand by after this short break. We're going to come back and we're going to learn a little bit more about the seven steps of the grief process.
Hi, I'm Janelle McCauley, the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, right here on the EWN Radio Network. Join me every Thursday to find out how you can take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the food you love. Each week, I'll bring you powerful and revealing interviews with doctors, health experts, and people just like you who have learned to create a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. I look forward to serving you great content and healthy tips on Eat Great, Live Well Radio. And remember, if you can't listen to me live, you can always get the replay at EWNRadioNetwork.com. I invite you to join me each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, here on the EWN Radio Network, and let's create your healthy future together.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads.
You're listening to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
Hi there, and welcome back. So glad you're joining us. I'm speaking with Counselor Mandy Epley. She's one of the founders of The Respite in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is a center for grief and hope for those who suffered great tragedy, a significant life loss, a trauma, a life-shaking, earth-shattering event or series of events, and also for those who are living with everyday losses, which are life-changing and life-evolving. And she is also our new host of Finding Hope on EWNRadioNetwork.com. Again, a show centered around working through the process of grief. So before we launch into those seven steps of the grief process, Mandy, I mentioned just now that the respite not only serves people suffering from earth-shattering events, but also for those living with everyday losses. So in other words, grief comes in many forms. Tell us what you mean about, what does that mean by everyday losses? Give us some examples.
Yes. You know, when we hear the words, we immediately associate it with death. And the reality is that we all are experiencing loss in many forms at different phases in our lives and throughout our lives. And it's our desire to normalize that journey, that a deep disappointment, you know, we experience that if a friendship has been shaken, if a friendship has ended, if you had a goal that you were going for and you did not quite make the mark, if you've experienced a job loss or ending, if a change has come into your world that you did not want, the process of aging. I mean, these normal changes that happen to all of us, we experience grief. And so much I want to help individuals and the women through eWomen Network to feel that support, that the normal process of being alive means that, of course, we experience disappointment, and that feeling your feelings around that and getting support and learning to grieve in a healthy way helps you have a fuller life. Because the more we're able to open ourselves up to the sorrow in our lives, we're more also able to open ourselves up to the joy in our lives. They go hand in hand. We can't do one without the other.
And, you know, the truth is, too, I've known people that they avoid the grief, the pain, and do just get very busy. They get busy. They might go, you know, traveling, which isn't a terrible thing, but doing everything they can to avoid feeling the heartbreak. And that heartbreak could come when your children get older. I remember the pain that I felt when my daughter turned 13 and she started shutting the door. And I was no longer, you know, the apple of her eye. And it was painful. I was sitting in my car. She was in the back. I'm crying and she's in the back. And I said, you know, you don't let me in anymore. And she said to me very wisely, well, I'm a teenager. That's what we do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not quite there yet. My daughter will be 10 in October, but I know those days are coming. And it's so important normalizing that process of being human, because if we do not allow ourselves to feel, we're missing out on learning about ourselves. And so my belief is the more we normalize that process and the more we can develop tools, then it doesn't feel so threatening to feel, and to feel sadness and to feel loss. Because the cause, I mean, the reality is, if I numb myself out, if I don't allow myself to feel, and I busy up my life and I use numbing tactics, I really cut off the intimacy in my life. I push people away. I push away my partner. I mean, and my children. I mean, there's a lot to say about that. There's so many reasons to keep ourselves open to life, no matter what has happened.
So moving on here, we mentioned in the last segment, you have identified 7 steps of the grief process. And let's just launch into a couple of those here. First, the number one is affirm. What do you mean by that?
What I mean, step one is all about learning to feel. It's about learning to welcome and normalize and be with one's own feelings. And throughout Finding Hope, we'll be telling you how to do that, why that's important, and the cost if you don't do that. It's about learning to be on your own side. So often when people come to see me in my private practice, you know, they will have had I remember one woman is coming to my mind. She had a very tragic loss of the death of a child. And 6 weeks in her loss, she was feeling a lot of shame about the amount of pain she was in, that she should have been stronger. And she was so close to this child and really supporting her in, she had to be on her own side. That depth of pain, she's not doing anything wrong. In fact, that's exactly where she needed to be, even though it was so painful and so hard. So affirming your grief is about welcoming the truth of your being and not fighting yourself in your feelings. It's saying this is normal.
And would you say too, though, like no one can walk in your shoes? I mean, that woman losing a child, I cannot even imagine what that feels like. Even if it's an older adult, my aunt who's almost 100 years old, lost her son in his 60s to a very quick moving leukemia. And she hasn't gotten over it, you know, so it doesn't matter. Losing a child is so painful. And to me, you have to, I think, also let go of the fact that this is your pain. It's no one is going to understand what it feels like. And there is no time frame. Am I right? I mean, the time frame is whatever you make of it.
You're so right. And every single woman and even men that hear the show, just to hear that again and again, your grief journey is your own. There is no time frame. I remember watching my great grandparents stand beside the casket of my grandfather when I was 19 years old. And I will never forget that image as long as I live, how much they loved their son. And that, you know, we all have our own unique story. Where there are similarities, of course there are differences, and there is no time frame. And however long it takes you, friend, to move through your own loss, your own pain, is yours. The point is to affirm it and to allow it, to not fight yourself, to be on your own side.
So once you've affirmed it, once you've allowed yourself to feel, the next step in the grief process is open your heart. Explain that.
This model is about what are steps that allow you to move through your grief journey in a way that is empowering and dignifying. And opening your heart is truly about, no matter what has happened to you, if you choose to shut down in life. Now, of course, we're not talking about these beginning moments, the beginning stages, but as you move through the journey of your grief, how important it is that you don't give up on life, that you don't close up, because if you shut off and close down, then you're really no longer living. you're existing, but you're not living. And that no matter what happens to us, holding a belief that if I keep my heart open through time, through support, I am going to move through this pain. I am going to learn more and more about life, about myself. And there are gifts for me on the other side. It's this important aspect of not closing off. And that does not mean that a person cannot have time of hibernating or time of, you know, we call it like turtle time of closing in. I mean, that's a very normal thing that happens when people have had tragic loss. But ultimately, making a commitment that you choose to love yourself enough, no matter what has happened, to not shut down on life.
And to do that, it's certainly easy to say, but certainly hard to do. And that's where you say, you know, you need help and someone like you, and somebody specializing in grief counseling who can walk you through that. Number three in the seven steps in the grief process, initiation. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, this step is really incredible. It is about really seeing that, you know, there are times in life where we are initiated more deeply into our own authenticity. And we'll share a lot about the step on finding hope. It's really, you know, in the sacred teachings from the great religious and philosophical traditions throughout time and history, many of those teachings, the Native Americans come to mind, speak about a time in all of our lives where we are initiated in life. It's really learning to view your loss as a passage, not as a punishment. And when I can see, like for me, and the story that I briefly shared earlier, when these three losses happened back to back, I mean, it truly dropped me to my knees. And I recognized at that time that I really am being shattered more into myself. It's making a choice to see your story, the larger context of your story, as a great passage and not as a punishment, to see the sacred. And of course, we'll be speaking about more about that, talking to people who have had incredible initiation stories, and then what are the tools that help us with that in finding hope.
Isn't it interesting, too, you talk about the Native American and their beliefs. Buddhists have a different belief. Religions all have different concepts about that, about death, you know, about in particular. And, you know, so it's so interesting, depending on how you look at it, you know, could create a tremendous amount of fear at the same time. And you could, you know, this is going to sound a little nutty, but my mom and I are very, very close. And since I'm a little girl, I've always worried about what's going to happen when she dies. Yeah. And I, even now, when I even mention it, it brings up this, it's like she's not even gone and I feel the loss, you know? How do you work through that and just let it go, you know, and say, this is what's going to happen. And it's funny, I counsel them, my mom and dad, both are in their 80s. They're terribly afraid of dying. And they, you know, and they live in a fear and worry and take 1,000 medications. And, you know, she worries about him. He worries about her, and I counsel them and say, look, it's going to happen. You know, you can't avoid it. So surrender to it. And meantime, you know, and somebody who's, they've been married, they just 60 years. Yeah. How do you overcome that?
Yeah. I mean, that's so much, I mean, Phyllis, that's so much of our vulnerability of being human, isn't it? I mean, this one, you know, this one aspect of this dance that we as mere mortals do with death. And that, I mean, we've been pondering these questions since the beginning of time. And you know, gently I say that when your mom does, you know, when she does actually die, that, you know, holding this idea of initiation, it won't make your pain hurt any less. I mean, that would be retarded for me to say that to you, but, right? Yeah. But it will help you to see you will be connecting with aspects of yourself that you will never have connected with before. And there is something sacred in that. And yeah. in that we cannot stop death and dying, we have to be able to find, well, if this is what's going to be happening anyway, how am I going to approach this in a way that brings a great amount of growth? And again, this word dignity to my life.
I love that. All right, my friend, we're going to take another short break. And when we come back, we're going to continue on the road to with the 7 steps in the grief process. So stand by.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Most people know UPS, but did you know we offer expert advice and time-saving tools for startups?
I have a big idea, and now I have big decisions to make.
We can help you get there.
Startups need all the help we can get.
Talk with our experts and find technology that can help you automate tasks so you can do more, faster.
To grow, I need help saving time and money.
Have a one-on-one consultation with a specialist at no cost, and our shipping and tracking tools are free as well.
I want to be more efficient and streamline operations.
You can even sign up for UPS Smart Pickup, which will automatically notify a driver whenever you create a shipment online.
Wow, so I can spend more time focusing on the big picture?
You focus on your business, while we take care of the logistics.
Putting more energy toward my dreams, that would be huge.
Get expert advice for your growing business. See how at ups.com/startups.
I love logistics.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with your host, Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back again. I am speaking with Counselor Mandy Epley. And Mandy is the new host of Finding Hope, which is on EWN Radio Network. It's all about helping you recover from grief, which she's been specializing in as a psychotherapist for over 2 decades now. And she and her colleague have identified 7 specific steps involved in the grief process. And so we've been going through that. I'll just briefly go over the first 3 is about affirming, which is learning to feel and accepting, really, and affirming that you're grieving. Open your heart, moving to help you move through the journey. Make sure you don't shut down as you move through grief. So open your heart and to support and people and the process. And then, of course, initiation into our own authenticity. Learning to view the loss as a passage, not a punishment. Mandy, I love that. A passage, not a punishment. So yeah. The next step, 4, is paradox.
Yeah, explain that. I have to say, this step is so powerful in that it's learning to see both and in life. It's learning to see that while we are incredibly in a lot of pain, that there is always something to be thankful for, that there is always something on the other side of life. It's really seeing that sorrow and joy are cousins. You know, they're each a side of a coin. That, and we'll talk about this more and more, but it's learning to hold both energies in life, that if I only focus on my despair and pain only, I cannot be open to the other side of life. I cannot experience joy. And if I'm only experiencing happiness or going for excitement and I ignore the painful side of my life, I don't have depth. And I'm not, you know, I'm going to live in a world of superficiality. So it's learning to see both and in life, and gets us away from this toxic black and white thinking that teaches us that things are only one way or the other, and that's not true. That is just not the reality of life. Things aren't just good or bad. So when you're experiencing incredible pain, it makes me think about Anne Frank. I think this is a beautiful example of paradox. You know, this young woman and you know, the horrors that she experienced, and yet these incredible writings and the beauty of what she was able to see when she could, you know, barely peek out a window. I mean, this is, you know, an incredible example of being willing to look for what is the tiny gift or small blessing that is coming to me today that can help me access hope. And we have, you know, we have all the ways that we teach about how to find, you know, how to find both sides and how to access both sides. And I'll be speaking about that more. But it empowers you and gives you courage to see what is a small gift. And even if it's the tiniest thing, like I had a really good latte today, even if it's something silly and benign, these small things build on themselves to help us reengage with life.
There is someone that is associated with eWomen Network, Dr. Fabrizio Mancini. He actually spoke at the conference. He's a very good friend of the Yanceys. And he's a chiropractor, functional medicine doctor who's president of Parker College for 14 years. And he's on the speaker circuit. He goes on the shows, the doctor, and he's written a book called The Power of Self-Healing. And one of the things he talks about to heal yourself is gratitude and forgiveness. And that's what you're saying. And there's so much more being written about that. The psychology of happiness now is, there's a whole, as you probably know, there's a Martin Seligman has, you know, started it. And there's actually you can get a degree in positive psychology. And a lot of that is about being grateful for what you have and writing it down, right? I think that's actually something that you talk about, how important it is to write things like that down.
Absolutely. And I love all that you're saying, and I'm very excited that these movements are opening up and coming into popular culture to help combat shame, because black and white thinking leads to shame. It's like, you know, if I'm hurting this deeply, there's something wrong with me, and then I cannot access excitement or peace or happiness, and therefore I can't experience gratitude, or I'm not able to move into forgiveness. And the reality is that those energies, those both sides of life, are always moving through us. It's whether we allow ourselves to open up to it that we need both to be balanced. It's about, you know, this step is about balance. And that, you know, when I teach this, you know, when I'm working with a young widow whose husband, you know, has been killed overseas in Afghanistan, you know, I'm not saying to her the moment she walks in the door, can you access a blessing? Of course not. I mean, that would be insensitive and cruel. But through time and through moving through these steps one by one, learning to see, you know, if it's one small thing each day, it does help grow that other side of life, if you will. And there's a lot to say about this. This tool, I'm not kidding, for myself, this tool has helped me with, I always say it has saved my life. And what I mean by that is it has saved the quality of my life. That I always, you know, I challenge myself when I've had a very difficult, painful period in my life, challenge myself and I say, okay, and what is the other hand? You know, what is a blessing? What is something good? You know, and that has been an incredibly empowering tool for me.
And so I think that that could be a learned thing. There's some like Anne Frank who found the beauty in horror. And then there's others, I think, that are maybe innately negative, that they have to work a little bit harder. But I know, and for me, I can relate, when I'm feeling kind of down and looking at the world in a negative way, I now, this is something new I've done in my life, before I go to bed, I'll take out my journal and I'll just start writing what I'm grateful for. And immediately, my entire attitude changes. Just shifts, and I get out of my head and honestly into my heart. And that changes everything. It's really amazing how just doing that one little step, you know, just looking at and even writing it down. What are you grateful for? Name three things you're grateful for. It could be, like you say, it could be a latte. It doesn't matter. Just experience the latte, and you were alive to taste the latte, you know. The step number five, spiritual fortitude.
Yes, this step is to help you connect with your deeper, authentic self and to help you recognize that, you know, we are not alone. I mean, regardless of one's belief system, that it's connecting with the larger, that we are not by ourselves, that life is on our side, and that you have a force and a power inside of you that lives inside of you that you can connect with. I'm thinking about one of my clients who is a widow, and she, you know, her husband sadly and unexpectedly died in front of her. He had a young man and had undiagnosed diabetes. No one knew this, and it created this heart condition. And he, one evening, died in front of her. And so, of course, her world was blown to smithereens. And, you know, this, what I saw in working with her, and this was a 2 year plus process, is that, you know, her determination to connect with, okay, I am not alone. There are people in the world that are hurting too. And, you know, she was not a particularly religious woman, the woman that was open to, okay, the world is grieving through me, and I am grieving into the world, and I really am not alone. And she would say this very brassy, I used to call her a pirate. She's this very brassy woman. And she would say, you know, I am not the one who died, daggummit. You know, I want to connect with the world around me and then discover. And this really catapulted her into discovering her own belief system in the larger, and getting to know her own inner being in a deeper way. And how important that is to know that we really are. I mean, the world, you know, it's amazing. We are all really connected. And I mean, every day I see that more and more and more. You know, Carl Jung spoke about the collective unconscious, and I experience that and see that more and more, that, you know, what goes on around the world does find its way into my world. And that's spiritual fortitude, and we'll speak about that more, but that's really important stuff.
And speaking of being connected, it's so interesting. I've come in contact with Sean Acor, who speaks. He's like sort of the guru of happiness. But one of the things he talks about had done this research at Harvard using this practice, this happiness practice for 21 days. And one of them was writing the three gratitudes, and another one was doing one act of kindness every day. And when you say you're connected, it's real interesting. I find myself, even like when I get in an elevator and, you know, everybody's looking down, you know, nobody looks at each other, and I will go out of my way to say, hey, how you doing? You know, or have a good day, even if I didn't talk to them. And it makes you feel better, and it makes them feel better. And it's just, there's just something about that connectedness. And when you're in that, even in that grief process, like you say, when you're connected, it's how important it is. Even when you're feeling that way, if you perform some kind of act of kindness, saying hello to somebody, it makes you feel good. It's amazing what it is to give and how much you get back from that. So
truly, I love those examples. And what it brings to my mind is that, you know, why spiritual fortitude? I mean, there are many reasons, but, you know, connecting with what you're around your own belief system and relating around your beliefs does so much, you know, from a psychological perspective, help you understand that you're truly not isolated. That's one of the dangers of grieving, that we feel so alone. Even it does not have to be a death. It can be a divorce. You know, people feel so alone. And learning to, you know, connect with the larger source through your own daily spiritual practices, you know, through journaling, as you mentioned, through reading, through prayer and meditation, the things that speak to you make a tremendously huge difference in realizing that life is on your side and with you, even though at those times that it doesn't feel that way.
Now, Liz, we have to take one more break. And when we come back, we're going to finish up our discussion around grief and the seven steps of the grief process. So we'll be back right after this short break.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. You can listen to us Tuesdays, noon Eastern, on the EWN Radio Network. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. Listen to me and my guest Tuesdays, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on the EWN Radio Network as we help you learn how you can be a thriving entrepreneur.
Welcome back to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back to our final segment on Close Up. Again, I'm speaking with Mandy Epley. Mandy, this has just been such an enlightening conversation around the seven steps of the grief process. I've learned even a lot about myself. I've even wept. Thank you very much. But I'm a weeper anyway. So, well, I want to just get into the last two steps. And for those of you who might just be joining us, the first five are in the grief, seven steps of the grief process that Mandy and her colleague have identified that they use to help patients there work through the process. Affirm, number one is affirm your grief, open your heart to the journey and make sure you don't shut down. Initiation, learn to view loss as a passage, not a punishment. That's the initiation process. Paradox, that we all experience sorrow and joy. That, as Mandy says, that sorrow and joy are cousins. We need both and we need to acknowledge both. And spiritual fortitude, the fact that we are not alone. We are all connected, and there are forces greater and beyond ourselves. ourselves, and surrendering to that is one way that we can help work through the grief process. So the last two we'll identify here, Mandy. Number six is service.
Yes, I mean, really, there is not a psychological tool, and I always say this, I'm teasing when I say it, but, you know, or New Age mumbo jumbo. I'm saying that lightheartedly. But yeah. Nothing powers us more than when we give back. Nothing helps us reclaim our lives and find great meaning in our own lives and through our losses and through the depth of our suffering than when we are giving back to whatever moves you, you know, whatever brings you joy, whatever brings you heartbreak. Those are the keys around where you may feel led to serve. And by service, it may mean that sweet little lady that lives around the corner and you prepare a meal for her. Or it may mean where you volunteer in an organization in your community or through your church or synagogue. It may mean that you begin something, you start something, you begin a business or a coaching practice or a nonprofit. But it's all about taking the wisdom from what you've learned and offering it back to the world, that the world needs you. And I say this again and again. It's like, who better to serve the world than those who have been brokenhearted? I mean, it's the brokenhearted that know what the world needs. And it's about also taking the shame out of our grief that, you know, I've had these many, many losses happen to me, but I can use this wisdom to find meaning in helping others. It doesn't take the pain away, but it incredibly brings meaning and joy that you would not have discovered otherwise.
I had mentioned to you actually off when we were in a commercial that there's a woman that I know in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and she had lost one of her children, and she found that for her other child, there was really nowhere that other child could go to help work through the grieving process. You know, people would say, oh, children are resilient or whatever. So she started a grief center for children called The Warm Place. And it's quite something. And it's a beautiful experience. When I worked in television, I did a story on her and the Warm Place and sat through the group conversations with the children, and they even have a room where you can go and bang out your anger. And then there's also some space for the parents to meet as well, but it's really child centered. And so that's when you talk about service, she gave back. And you mentioned when we first started, others, you know, of who have done that. Well, you know, Susan G. Komen, she, Nancy Brinkman, that's her sister, Susan Komen, who died from breast cancer. So Nancy Brinker, you know, started the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So, and many, many, many others. The list goes on, I'm sure.
And that, I mean, that's such a beautiful story that you shared. And that's, you know, for us and my colleagues, beginning the respite was very much out of our stories of great loss. And my colleague Elizabeth, her husband was killed in Afghanistan 6 weeks after they had their second child. Their first child had died at birth, and here she was, not yet 30, and having both of these incredibly earth-shattering losses. And then throughout her process, it's, you know, a part of her recovery and reclaiming life has been giving back through the respite. So it is, you know, giving for others, but it's so incredibly therapeutic for the individual when they're ready to engage in life again, how important service is, the big piece service plays in our recovery and our healing.
Now, and finally, the seventh step in the grief process, you say, is celebration.
This is really bringing the model to its wholeness, that the model itself is paradoxical, that we are saying what brings wholeness to our lives is when we are open and able to also celebrate the fullness of our journey. One of my, I mentioned her earlier, my dearest friend, she was my former practice partner, Tammy Starling. You know, Tammy's husband died in a really tragic car accident when she was 6 months pregnant with their second child. And now, 25 years later, I was just at the wedding of their daughter. It was so beautiful. And Tammy said to me, you know, while of course she, you know, would, you know, want Milton to be there, at the same time she was saying, you know, I celebrate all that has happened in my life and who I am today because of the journey that catapulted me into. I mean, it's a willingness to intentionally hold that the whole perspective of our lives. I mean, I know when my former marriage suddenly ended, you know, I made it a point when all of that closed to gather my closest friends around me and to, you know, to really honor that ending. And to do it in a holy and even a sacred way, to celebrate that part of my life, the beauty of that marriage and the incredible child that we created, and where this was now leading me. So it's being willing to honor both sides paradoxically in our whole stories. And how important celebration is. It's so important to infuse our lives with joy. I mean, my colleague and I, Chris, who developed these seven steps, you know, we talk about these are the seven steps for grief and hope to guide one through their journey. But really, they're also the same steps for joy, what allows us to access joy in our lives. So this final step is about being willing to celebrate who you are and where your life has led you, and to do that in a way where you feel really proud.
So we have to end this here, but it isn't over. Yeah, please, if you are experiencing grief, you know somebody's experiencing grief, you want to know more and you want to really get deeper into these seven steps and more, listen to Mandy's show. It is on Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. It airs live at that point, but it also lives on archived on her host page on EWNRadioNetwork.com. Mandy, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for your insight, for all the work and that you're doing on this planet. And I love that you have a radio show now, even though you're in Charlotte at the respite, you can, through the use of radio, send your message and help people through the airwaves. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a complete and total pleasure. And I hope all of you will join us at Finding Hope.